Every one of us. Her mind's just as sharp. And I'm telling you what, buddy, I learned an awful, awful lot from my grandmother. And it is a blessing. Take your Bible tonight and turn to Psalms chapter number 25. Might turn me down just a tad, Brother Randy. Am I too loud, Brother Warren? If I raise my voice, I might be. Going to do something a little bit different tonight. Just going to do a little word study, especially because I need to stay right here behind the pulpit, so I've got something to hold on to, amen? I'm getting like a senior citizen. I got to have something to hang on to. But I want to talk tonight about one of the hardest words for me in the Bible. One of the hardest words in all the Bible for me is the word wait. One of the hardest words for me in all of life is wait. You ever have somebody tell you to wait? I can't stand that. I go into the doctor. You know what I had to do?
Wait.
You'd think they could at least get some decent magazines. Hey man, I'm going to donate some horse magazines and some hunting magazines, something to look at other than Cosmopolitan. I don't need to learn 7 ways to keep your husband, amen? But anyway, I cannot stand to wait. You go into the doctor's office, you have an appointment at, say, 3 o'clock, and at 4 o'clock you're still sitting there, but I get irate. I just get all tore up, and then they carry you back there in that little room and leave you there by yourself and say the doctor will be in momentarily. Momentarily in an hour is not the same thing. I have a hard time with the word wait. Your children have a hard time with the word wait. I think today our children run our homes for the most part. They get what they want and they get it when they want, or they throw a little temper tantrum. If we don't teach them to wait now, it's going to be tough on them when they get big. I used to tell my children every now and then no for no reason. Just to say no. You've got to learn to be able to accept that, and you've got to learn, because the answer in life sometimes is no. And sometimes in life the answer is wait. And I pray and I say, God, I need you to do this and I need you to do that. Have you ever prayed and God sent the answer, but it wasn't in your time?
Yeah.
Amen. God waited. God waited. Have you ever gotten trouble by not waiting on God? You prayed about something, God gives you peace about it, and then it doesn't happen for a long period of time, so you see another option, Abraham and Sarah. God said, I'm going to give you a son, and your seed will be multiplied like the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore. And boy, he got on up in years and waited and waited and waited, and it wasn't happening. And one day his wife said, I got an idea. Let's have us a baby by my handmaid. Y'all remember that? Hence, Ishmael was born. Now, how bad a situation can we get into by getting ahead of God and not waiting? We're still dealing with that problem today. That's the entire problem over there in the Middle East. Amen. Isaac and Ishmael, they still fighting over that land over there. They will till Jesus comes. Amen. What I'm trying to say is when we get impatient and we don't... There's Jasmine. Hey, darling, good to see you. Didn't even know you was here. But anyway, we get in trouble when we get to the place where we can't wait on God. Now, that's one of the most valuable lessons you'll learn in your Christian life, is to learn how to wait patiently for the Lord. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. We need to learn to wait on God. Hey, some of our young people, of course, most of them's out there in the teens tonight, if they're not careful, they'll get impatient with God on choosing a mate. And they'll quit praying about it, and they'll just take the first thing that comes down the road. Stephanie Speck, one of the finest teenagers ever grew up in our church. She was a little bitty short thing. She was 20-something years old and looked like she's 11. By the way, she still does. We'd go to camp and Stephanie would be a counselor. I mean, she's a grown woman teaching in our school, and 12, 13-year-old boys would come ask me for her phone number. But she'd sit in my office and talk with me and Sister Angie and cry because everybody was getting married and everybody was getting engaged and she didn't have nobody. And I kept telling Stephanie, wait, wait, wait. Just wait. She'd say, I'm not getting no younger.
No.
I said, God knows what he's doing. Just wait. Well, one year, I don't know how many years ago it was, everybody went to New York with me to the big Youth Ablaze meeting. And there Stephanie got Twitter-pated by the pastor's son, Chad Roscoe. She's married to him still today and has one brand new baby. I'm telling you, it pays to wait on God. Every time she testifies, she mentioned that. She said, I'm so glad I waited on God. I looked up in the dictionary today the word wait. I want you to listen to this. We're going to look at a bunch of scripture tonight, okay? So keep your Bibles out. Webster said, the word wait means to stay or rest in expectation. To stay or rest in expectation. To stop or to remain stationary till the arrival of some person or event. Let's look at that again. That'll preach right there. This is what Webster said, to stay or rest in expectation. You know what we're doing? We're staying in our faith, and we're resting in our faith, and we're resting in the grace of God in expectation of what? Jesus is coming again. Amen. That's what we're waiting on. He's going to return. He's going to call us up out of here. Amen. And we're waiting. We're waiting on that. He said to stop or to remain stationary till the arrival of some person or event. Then secondly, he said to wait means to rest in expectation and patience. To rest in expectation and patience. A lot of times when I'm waiting, I'm anxious about it. Sitting in the doctor's office, I'm looking at my watch every 5 seconds, making sure it ain't broke. I'm not waiting at rest. I'm not waiting at rest. Yesterday, Monday, got on a plane in Bozeman, Montana. We started to back out of the gate, and all of a sudden, the plane just barely moving. All of a sudden, it just stopped. Then the pilot come on, and he said, we've lost some kind of valve in the right engine, and the maintenance is coming. They'll have it taken care of shortly, 3.5 hours later. Now, I don't know if you've flown very much, but the air don't really work too good till that bird gets moving. Somebody said, won't you let us get off? They said, we can't deplane. Once you're on, you're on. So we sat there. I wasn't waiting in rest. I was waiting. I was having anxiety. What do you call that? Panic attack, man. I was just freaking out. We need to learn to rest in expectation. And hey, if you've sewed up something in faith, just trust God. Just trust God and forget about it. Put it out of your mind. Don't drive yourself crazy about it. In Job chapter number 14, Job said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait. All the days of my appointed time, Job says, will I wait till my change come. You know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting on ears that don't get infected. I'm waiting on sinuses that don't get stopped up. I'm waiting on heads that don't get vertigo. Amen. I'm waiting on a day when people don't have heart attacks and die. I'm waiting on a day, hallelujah, when we don't have to go to the funeral home and livers don't go bad. I'm waiting, hallelujah. Hey, Job said, I'm going to wait till my change comes. Now, I want to show you tonight through some scriptures, and I won't be very short, but I don't think I'll be very long. I'll preach till the Lord gets done, I guess. I want you to look at Psalms chapter 25. Are you there? Psalms chapter number 25. Watch what the psalmist said. He said, lead me in thy truth. Boy, it'd be good to get a hold of that. As we read the Bible, we ought to pray, God, lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Watch what he said. On thee do I wait. How long? All the day. Brother Jerry Bailey's not here tonight. I talked to him on the way to church, and I was asking him a question. I asked him, was he here yet? And he said, no, brother, I'm not going to make it. He said, I showed up. Our bus tires were delivered today. He said, I showed up. I was supposed to be there at 11. He said, I got there at 15 till. He said, the guy didn't come till about an hour ago. He said, I've been sitting there waiting on them tires all day long. Sometimes we have to wait all day long. Sometimes we have to wait all day long. Hosea chapter number 12. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. But Hosea chapter number 12. The Bible said, Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. continually. Let me give you an example right there. We need to wait, number one, continually. We need to continue to wait on God for whatever it is, our expectation of Him in our life. We need to be patient and wait on God. I'm glad 18 years ago when Freddie Young put on the prayer sheet or made a prayer request and said, pray for my dad. I'm glad we didn't quit after a year. I'm glad we didn't quit after two. I'm glad we didn't quit after three or five or ten. Well, I'm talking about 18 years we waited. And God answered that prayer in His time. 1 week before he died. Hallelujah, man. Yes, what I'm trying to say is we're to wait on God continually. Don't ever give up.
Amen.
When you give up waiting continually, that's when you'll get ahead of God. That's when you'll make some pretty rash mistakes. God knew when Fred Young's going to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. And boy, we just kept praying.
Amen.
We just kept praying. I forgot how many years ago it was. I just felt like the Lord gave me peace about it. I said, I believe with all my heart he's saved and don't know it. There's a lot of people in the South saved and don't know it because somebody's told them somewhere along the way you can get saved and lose it. I said, he's either saved and don't know it or he's going to get saved.
Amen.
And a week before he died, Brother Charles got over his hospital bed and said, Mr. Young, look at me. And he bowed his head right there in that hospital and
Amen.
Got saved. We need to wait on God continually. Go to Psalms chapter 27, just over the page. Psalms chapter number 27. Look at verse number 14. Tell me when you're looking at it. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good what?
Courage,
and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Listen, I said we need to wait continually, but we need to wait courageously. We need to wait courageously on the Lord or wait in confidence on the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, we need to have the attitude, God will hear and God will answer my prayer.
Amen.
Do you ever pray in doubt? Talk to me.
Yes, sir.
Be real honest. Do you ever pray doubting God's ever going to answer that prayer to start with? That's not faith, is it? That's not faith. We need to wait with confidence. Hey, it's coming. I've been telling you for I don't know how many years we've been in this building now, close to 20, I guess. But I've been praying every day since the day we bought this building. Lord, send the big check. We got that check for $15,000 in the mail the other day, and I said, Lord, that's a start. Thank you for that, but we need about 65 more. Amen.
Amen.
Not 65,000. We need 600. Yeah, 600,000 more. Hey. I don't lay awake at night worrying where that's going to come from.
Amen.
I don't worry about where it's going to come from to pay this place off so that we can build and do more. I don't worry about that. God gave me peace in my heart that this was His will for our church. Amen. And until He tells me different, I'm just going to wait on Tom to call about the big check. Amen. We need to wait continually. We need to wait courageously. Look at Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Y'all doing okay just looking at some scriptures tonight?
Amen.
Psalms chapter 37. Look at verse number 7. Are you there? He said, rest in the Lord and wait. Say the next word.
Patiently
for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Boy, we see a lot of that going on today. Amen. People fretting themselves because somebody else got something they didn't get. So we run out ahead of God and do something that's out of the will of God and get ourselves in a mess.
Yeah, right.
Amen. We are living it. We went through this thing a few years ago in our church. Our young people started getting married. All that original youth choir, you remember that? Every single one of them had to go out and buy a brand new home when they got married. How many of you somewhere around my age started out that way? Not one. Not one. We're living in a day that everybody wants everything and we want it right now. Amen. We started out in a little duplex. I'm talking about living room, bedroom, kitchen. And the bathroom was in the kitchen. It was an old house in town in Dallas divided in half. I'm trying to remember what our rent was. Seemed like it was $100 a month, something like that. I mean, it was unbelievable. That's where we live. We moved from there to my grandmother's old farmhouse. We moved from there to a single wide trailer with rats in it that big. Now, one day, God opened the door. I run into Joey Tidwell, and he said, let me build you and Angie a house. I said, it couldn't never work. He said, I bet it could. And the Lord opened the door, and we got a brand new home. But that was years later, man. You ain't got to have everything right now. Man, sometimes we just had Brother William cover our back porch, and I built an outdoor sectional sofa, and that thing, believe it or not, Brother Freddie, I built it, and it turned out nice. Amen. I was shocked. I stood there scratching my head thinking, I can't believe I done that. And I told Angie, we were sitting on the porch one night last week before I left town. I said, boy, I wish we'd have done this years ago. She said, I'm glad we didn't. She said, I think we're at a place where we'll enjoy it more now. Said, you're exactly right. I got a place to lay in the shade and watch my grandbabies play in the pool. Amen. Amen. Some things are just worth the wait, man. If you get too much too fast, it'll mess you up. Amen. Where do you? If you start out in a brand new $200,000 home, where are you going from there? You ain't got nothing to look forward to. Amen. We need to learn to wait continually and courageously. We need to learn to wait patiently. Patiently. I'm not just preaching to you tonight. When I point my finger that way, these three more come back here. They all need to be coming this way. Patience has never been a virtue of mine. Amen. I'm getting better as I get older, but I've never been a very patient person at all. Jonah, our middle grandson, he is a very brilliant little boy, and he's in his own little world. And if you're going somewhere and you're getting the kids in the, and it's a job just to load them all in the vehicle, you know. And you get Hayden in and you get Caroline buckled in and you look around, Jonah's over there walking around. I said, Jonah, come on. He don't even know I'm in the world. He goes on journeys. He goes on journeys. He's over out in the edge of the woods somewhere on a journey. His little imagination, he's probably a pirate or he's hunting dinosaurs. He's out there doing something. I'm Jonah, come on. And I just get so impatient. My wife will say, honey, calm down. We'll get there. It's like I'm in that big a hurry to get to Stevie B's. Amen. It's sometimes you just have to go and walk up behind him and scoop him up in your arm and say, get in the truck. Amen. Patient, man, patient. It is so hard. You ever just meet people that just seem to have the patience of Job? Oh, yeah. Old Tim Noble. I miss that rascal so bad. Tim is probably one of the most patient people, and he's my age, even when we were teenagers. One of the most patient person, never loses temper, never get all addled and all that unless we're at a basketball game when he was coaching. But I don't know, he just got to patience. I thought, man, how do you do that? How do you do that? And you know what it is? I believe it's a gift from God. If you want patience, you got to ask for it. You ever seen the little saying, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now? Amen. But that could be a serious prayer. There may be a situation in your life where you say, Lord, I need your patience. Anthony, I don't know what God has waited so long on this liver thing, but we got to be patient. We got to be patient. There's days while we're waiting that we can get discouraged and we think it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. When Sister Denise had that last episode and the ammonia levels and chemicals got all out of whack and she's sitting on the road and didn't even know where she was. And boy, I'm telling you, Brother Anthony was having a bad day. And so would I. It's days like that that goes, okay, how patient are you now? Was that you that said in church, God's got this? And the devil will sit on your shoulder and he'll yak in your ear. Amen. We got to go back to old Job and said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. In other words, he said, I'm not giving up on God till I die. If he answers my prayer at the last minute, I will not give up. Amen. We got to learn to wait patiently. And sometimes that's so hard to do. And this seems real simple tonight, but I guarantee you not many of us are very good at it. Amen. Especially if you're in your 20s and 30s, I'm telling you right now, you're not good at waiting patiently on the Lord. You may start out waiting, but when you see a way to make it happen, you go for it. Amen. But boy, it's so much better if God does it. It's so much better if God does it. Man, we were in a situation in our old building in Dallas, and we tried to buy property over there on the new four lane, and I can't remember, something like $75,000 an acre. I mean, it was crazy. And we tried to expand again on the property where we were, and the city said, no way, you can't put so much as an outhouse on that property. You've done all you can do. And so we were just, I was frantic. I was just looking here and there, trying to come up with ideas, One day I got a phone call. It was Johnny Wellum. He said, you know the First Baptist Church of Villarica is for sale? I said, so? I hate Villarica.
Yeah.
Levi was having a birthday, and I'd promised him a bicycle. They had just opened that Walmart up here. And I was got in the truck to get me and Levi go get him a bicycle, and the Holy Spirit said, go through Villarica. You won't have to fight all that crowd and hire them. I drove by, saw the for sale sign. We got the bicycle. I found myself up here that night at midnight walking these grounds and praying. The next night I was up here at midnight walking these grounds praying. And y'all don't tell nobody, but you know how that side door don't shut good sometimes?
Yeah.
It didn't back then either. And at midnight I found myself laying in the altar of the First Baptist Church praying. Finally decided to come and look at it, sitting in that balcony up there while the men looked around. I'd already seen everything they had. They showing us through the building, I go, oh.
Really?
Yeah, it's nice. I could have shown them around, I think. But sitting in that balcony, God said, you're home. I could have saved myself a whole lot of trouble. Could have saved myself a whole lot of worry if I'd have just been patient. People ask me now, preacher, what are we going to do? I don't know. I ain't chasing dreams. I'm waiting on God, and in His time, hey, I messed up before. That whole deal about buying center fields, I thought that's God's will. That about done me in. Boy, it tore me up. You know what I did? That thing looked great. It looked grand. But hindsight, right after that, the economy crashed. We'd have lost it. If we'd have bought it and built a new sanctuary where them 11 ball fields are, we'd have lost every bit of it. And now looking back, God's saying, see, just wait on me. You know He already knows what we're supposed to do? He already knows where we're going or whether we're going to build. He knows. I've tried to tell Him a few things. I've told Him, Lord, we need Gold Dust Park. Lord, that'd be perfect for our church. I mean, but I'm telling you, we could set up and have church next week. Brother Freddie's told him that too. Amen. I've walked them grounds and I've prayed. But I said, God, if this ain't it, I don't care. We'll build another building right there. Brother Freddie's got plans drawn up. We'll do whatever, God. Whatever, as long as it's what you want and when you want. Amen. We need to learn to wait continually. We need to learn to wait courageously. We need to learn to wait patiently. Now look at Psalms chapter number 62. Psalms chapter number 62. Look at verse number 5. Say amen when you get there. Watch what he said. He said, my soul, wait thou, say the next word with me, only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He said, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Sounds like he's talking to himself, don't he? You ever do that? You ever just said, now wait a minute, big boy, you better slow down. Amen. He said, my soul, wait thou only upon God. In other words, maybe another option had risen up. Maybe another door had opened somewhere. And he says, wait a minute, soul, you wait only on God. We need to wait on God. Watch this one. Exclusively.
Amen.
Exclusively. Do you know the devil will give you options too? Amen. I've watched people, especially back when that economy was bad. But the people getting desperate, going here and there and moving off. Ain't no telling how many people and families are out of church tonight because daddy made a harsh and quick decision for a dollar. And now they're not even in church. Now they're not even serving God. We need to wait on God exclusively. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll say, I trust the Lord with all my heart. But you'll take advice from somebody who don't even know God that well. Amen. You'll listen to somebody at work that don't even go to church say, I'll tell you what I'd do if I was you. I tell you how I'd handle that if I was you. I tell you what I'd do if I was my wife.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I can't stand it when people do that.
Amen.
I remember when I was a teenager and I'd watch them kids at White Oak running around and bunch of stinking brats. I'd think, if that's my kid, if that is my kid, I'd tear his stinking head off. People give you advice when they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
And then Ashley comes along and she's a little angel.
Yeah.
I'm serious. She ain't never had maybe two whippings in her life, I reckon. And Levi come along. I had to eat some words. He had a little, you remember them little silver metal cap pistols? The little bitty ones. He had one of them, he towed it in one pocket. And I had an old pocket knife. I got out in the driveway on the concrete and ground the point off of it, and he had that pocket knife. It was duller than a butter knife. It wouldn't have cut nobody. And he toted it in this pocket. He'd say, I'll shoot you with this, and I'll cut you with this one. I mean, he's a mess. I'm preaching at Faith Baptist Church down here. Brother Randy Clark, they're still in the basement. They ain't got the building built up on top of the new building yet, so they're having church. You remember that in the basement? And I'm up there, I'm preaching, I mean, just waxing eloquent, boy. And all of a sudden, Levi always had a crew cut. I seen that little head, Brother Brandon, he's sitting about where you are, him and his mama and his sister. His little head popped up about right there, and I seen him, he looked up at me and he went, pow! He said, I got you. Right in the middle of the preaching. Boy, I did just like I said I'd do.
Yeah, right.
I tore that brat up. No, right in the middle of preaching, he went, pow, I got you. I went, oh, and kept right on preaching. Preaching at Piney Woods one night. Angie got up, Katie was a baby, got up and took Katie out to the bathroom. They had an outhouse back then. And I'm up preaching. You say, how old are you, man? No, seriously, this church didn't have a bathroom until a few years ago. I'm standing there preaching wide open. Levi stands up in the pew. Daddy. I just ignore it and keep preaching. Finally, he said, Daddy. I said, what? He said, where's Mama? Yeah. Be careful about taking advice from people who want to tell you what they would do.
Amen.
And you wait till their situation comes around and just see what they do.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. Amen. People, listen, married people, don't ever take advice from single people. Listen, married people, don't take advice from somebody who's been divorced 5 times. Forgot who it was, somebody here in the church. Well, I do know who it was, I just ain't going to say. His sister's been married about 9 times. And his daddy looked at her one day and said, honey, when are you going to realize 9 men can't all be wrong? Amen. That's not where I'm going for marital advice. Amen. I'm going to wait on God exclusively. God knows what I need, and God knows when I need it. Do you think He does?
Yes, sir.
God's timing is very, very important. The right thing too soon could be a bad thing.
Amen.
Amen. I remember as a young pastor, Lord, I pray God you give me 100 people. Why, I'd have had a heart attack and died if I'd have had to handle 100 people back then. Amen. I wasn't ready for that. You may not be ready for what, it may be God's will, but you may not be ready for it. You're 15 years old, you're not ready to date. Amen. I knew Angie Dodd would be my wife when she was 12 years old. It's a fact. But I wasn't ready for a wife at 12 years old. I wasn't ready for one when I got it. Still working on that, amen? We need to learn to wait on God exclusively. Look at Psalms chapter 130. Can y'all handle just a couple more? Psalms chapter 130. Psalms chapter 130. I'm feeling a little better. Preaching will help you, amen? Psalms 130. Look with me at verse number 5. The psalmist said, I will wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Listen, we need to wait expectantly. We need to learn to wait on God expectantly. Do you know what's helped me to expect my prayers to be answered? My prayers being answered. The cancer's being healed. The job's being found. The finances turning around. Just everything that I've seen God do. I've seen more answered prayer than I have unanswered. Amen. I wish, I don't know where Shane go. No, he's with a teenager. Brother Shane, I'd love to show you his book sometime. He started back years ago. I don't know if he still does it or not. But he writes down all these prayer requests. Every prayer request we had in the prayer room, he wrote them down in his prayer book. And boy, he said his favorite thing in the world was going through there and checking them things off. He showed me that one thing, that thing a few years ago, and it'd blow your mind how many things we as a church have prayed for that God has checked off the list. Amen. So you know what it's done? It's made me to learn to pray expecting. Amen. When I wanted to go get them buses, man, I didn't have no doubt about it. I didn't have no doubt about it. God said, it's time to go get some buses. And it may not be far off time to go get some more. Amen. I said, God, we need bus tires. God sent a check. I said, God, we need four new buses. The very next day, there they were. Had them paid for in just a few months' time. $25,000. I feel like a spoiled brat sometimes. I don't always get it when I want it, but I pretty much always get it. And probably most of you do too. Amen. Probably you got, he's answered more than you deserve. If he answered one, he answered that biggest. He answered that biggest problem I had. I said, Lord, I'm lost and on my way to hell. And God said, check, check that one off. That's the big one right there. If he can do that, how is it we doubt him in the little stuff? He has saved you and keep you out of hell, but you doubt him for a power bill. Amen. Lamentations chapter number 3. Verse number 25, he said, the Lord is good unto them, watch this, that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We need to learn to wait expectantly. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Almost done. Isaiah chapter number 40. Maybe somebody ought to get on this altar tonight and say, Lord, teach me to wait. Teach me to be still sometimes. I get ahead of my own self. Amen. I'll get out ahead of my own self. I don't know telling how many times I've looked back and went, that wasn't such a good idea after all. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40. Most of you know this verse, but look at verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, we need to wait victoriously. We need to wait victoriously. He said, if you'll wait on the Lord, you're going to walk again. You're going to run. You're going to mount up with eagle's wings, but you're going to wait on the Lord. Amen. Have you ever stood back and looked at a situation after the answer came and thought, boy, I'm glad I waited. I'm glad I waited. There were times when I was about to give up and throw in the towel, but I'm glad I waited. I'm glad you didn't quit putting your dad's name on the prayer sheet. I'm glad. I've been pastoring this church for almost 23 years. I think it's 23 coming up. 23 years. I've never seen anybody consistently pray for something that long. That lady sitting right over there is about pushing it right there. I ain't giving up on that one. How many? 27 years. Can you imagine how sweet that victory's going to be? Can you imagine how Brother Freddie felt when he stood by the bed and watched his daddy bow his head and call out on God? Can you imagine? Woo! I mean, it would have been sweet 20 years ago, but after all that praying and all that waiting and all that patience and all that expectation, and then the answer comes, woo, man, you just about strip a gear. Amen. Wait victoriously. I wonder how many times we've quit when the answer was coming the next day. I wonder how many times we give up too soon. I wonder how many times a Sunday school teacher gets discouraged and give up a class just before a blessing comes. I'll never forget, I'm almost done, I promise. I'll never forget years ago, I was the youth, they didn't call them pastors back then, I was the youth director. They didn't want to give you nothing, sound like you had a job, amen. But I was the youth director, and I taught the teenage Sunday school class. I had made up my mind that morning that I was going to Junior Bearden. He was our Sunday school director. I was going to him when soon as church was over and give up my class. I'd made up my mind. It was a done deal. I took a teenage class. I started out with about, I don't know, Clint, you wasn't in that class, was you? Randy was. Randy's up there. What we have, Clint? Randy, maybe 10, 12, something like that. We wound up in the 50s. We had the junior church was our Sunday school class. That Sunday morning, I was going to resign my class. And we had one of them services where people were coming to the altar during the singing and testifying. I was sitting on the front row beside Brother Tommy Talent. Michael Williams come across the church. He was in my Sunday school class. One of the hardest knotheads that, you know, somebody you thought wasn't getting it. Somebody you thought that was sleeping through class. He come over there, tears rolling down his face, put his arms around my neck. He said, "You're the best Sunday school teacher in the whole world." He said, "I get so much help from you every week." And he just went on and on telling me what a blessing I was. Church was over and the Lord said, "There's Junior." I said, "I changed my mind." Man, don't quit before the blessing comes. Don't ever quit when it's bad. You're going to quit when it's good. That makes sense? People just give up too quick. I watch preachers resign churches. Man, you wouldn't believe how many times I get somewhere to preach and the pastor from pick me up at the airport and the pastor say, "If something don't happen this week, I'm going to resign Sunday, blah, 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 blah." And they just resign all the time. Man, I'm telling you, you know what a blessing it is to have been here for 23 years? I know it's not that big a blessing to some of y'all. You have to hear me. You've had to hear me for 23 years. But man, I'm getting to see the other end of this thing. I feel sorry for these guys who pastor a church 5 years and go somewhere else. Amen. I love this, man. I love this. I love growing old with Brother Charles. I think it's the coolest thing in the world, man. Amen. We need to wait victoriously. Galatians chapter number 5. Almost done. Galatians chapter number 5. Say amen when you get there. Right before the book of Ephesians. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 5. I won't belabor this one, I've kind of hit it already. He said, "For we through the Spirit," watch this, "wait for the what? For the hope of righteousness by faith." We need to learn to wait hopefully. We need to learn to wait hopefully. And I'm telling you, it's bad when you get to the place where you've lost all hope. Amen. It's bad when we get to the point where we've lost our hope. Don't ever give up. Right. Right. Don't ever give up. You ever seen that cartoon of that blue heron? Y'all know what that is, a crane? And he's swallowing a frog. And the whole frog's back end is sticking out his mouth, and that frog's got one hand clenched around that crane's throat. And up underneath it says, "Don't ever give up." Amen. Don't ever give up. Don't ever lose hope. Because with God, there's always, always a possibility. With God, how many things are possible? All things. Is there anything Sister Shelley sang tonight too hard for God? She said, really, that's the only question. Is there anything too hard for God? Did he furnish a table in the wilderness? If he can rain quail down out of heaven and water out of a rock, He can supply my little piddling needs. Amen. Lastly, and I'm done, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 10. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He said, and to wait for His Son from heaven. Lastly, we need to learn to wait upwardly. We need to... John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. How many times a week or a month do you look for the Lord? Do you wake up with this thought in mind? Lord, could it be today? Every time I hear the news, I think, Lord, come on. Come on, Lord. Every time I watch them politicians do their little debate and act like five-year-olds, I'm thinking, Lord, come on. I'm ready for You to come.
Amen.
I'm ready for You to come.
Amen.
Somebody say, oh, but there's so much things I'd like to see. And some, oh, I give up on that thought a long time ago.
Amen.
I give up on that stuff a long time ago. Wouldn't nothing be better than heaven, man? Wouldn't nothing be better than heaven? Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to learn to wait upwardly, hopefully, victoriously, expectantly, exclusively, patiently, courageously, and continually. That's a tough word. It's a tough word. It might be easy to get up and stand and talk about, but doing it, waiting is a whole different story. Waiting patiently on the Lord. Let's stand our feet.